Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I know that you're going to hear me say go to Mark, but I'm about ready to tell you to buckle your seatbelts because the Lord has just changed my sermon right now. I want to share with you another message that's kind of been on the back of my mind as I've been going through a lot of stuff, and I just want to begin. I want this message today. I prayed all day, all week. I've been having trouble sleeping, and so I pray a lot. And, you know, a lot of times, if we're going to be honest, we go through a lot of dark times in our lives. And we have a lot of dark valleys in our lives. And sometimes those dark valleys seem to be longer than the mountaintop experiences. And sometimes we oftentimes wonder and say, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Why are you sending me through this particular trial? Why are you sending me through this particular tribulation? Don't you know what I'm going through? And God is looking at your particular instance. He's looking at your particular situation and he goes, I know exactly what I'm doing. But I need you to trust me. This morning I want to look at the life of Joseph. And I want to talk about today about how we can face adversity. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to read some verses here. So the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to begin to see Joseph's progression in his life. Because you may be going through a particular trial or tribulation right now. But you're asking God, going, why am I going through this trial? When will it ever get better? Lord, can you help me? And I guarantee you that that is exactly, I guarantee you, what Joseph said at times. So let's look at the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. I've been in Mark so long. We'll be back there next week. Verse 1 of chapter 37, it says, Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned in the land of Canaan. And these are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic. Now, for those of us that have been in Sunday school, we call that the coat of many colors. Okay? His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak well of him or speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they had hated him even more. And then he said, Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to them, Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for the dreams that, and for his words. Now he had still another dream, And he related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I've had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were also bowing down to me." And he related it to his father and to his brothers. And his fathers rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept these sayings in mind. Then his brothers went and pastured their flocks, their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing their flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "I will go." Now I want us to look at a few things here. Joseph began his life with a not very good beginning. He began his life where he began it in a setting where he was shown favoritism. He had no control over that. He had no control over the fact that his father loved him more than the other children, more than the other kids. Nor could he control then the fact that that was the reason why his brothers hated him even more. So he grew up in a household that he was hated and despised. Have you ever grown up in a household where you were hated and despised? My brother, I love him to death, but he grew up and he hated me because I was always the good kid. I seemed to never get in trouble. I seemed to always, whatever it was, right? And it seemed to be that was the way that life grew up. But it was so bad, and over that, Joseph had a dream. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have told my brother my dream. Now, he was 17 years old, so he told his dream. And his brothers hated him even more for that dream. And it got so bad that when he went out to pasture this flock or to talk to his brothers about this particular situation, that when he went out, his brother says, "We're going to kill him. And we're going to put some blood of an animal onto his on his coat of many colors, and we're going to kill him." But they didn't do it. Instead, they came and they brought him. They sold him to Pharaoh, not Pharaoh. They sold him to Midianite traders, and they took him and he became a slave over in Egypt. Now I want you to think about this. You are a person, and you've been sold into slavery. You're sent to another country, and you don't know how to speak their language. Someone comes up to you, and they're going this, and you're going, "I have no idea what's going on." Okay, I don't know the language. I don't know anything. But yet we see that God continues to bless him. That everything that he does, God seems to bless him. That in whatever situation it may be, God is blessing him. So one day, Potiphar's wife decides she wants to sleep with him. And he goes, "No, I'm not going to sleep with you. Your husband has given me everything but you. And I'm not going to spoil that." And she kept nagging him and nagging him. And so he tries to get out of the situation. And it ends up being framed to where it became a he said, she said type of a thing. And of course, Potiphar believed her instead of him, and ended up throwing him into prison. And here's a guy that has been a slave. God blesses him, and now he goes back into prison. And I'm guaranteeing you that if I was Joseph, I'm going, "God, why is this happening to me?" So just about a little time later, God still continues to bless him. In fact, he moves from being one of the worthless slaves there, because here's what happens. They're going to forget about Joseph. They're going to forget about him. And so they put him away. They're going to forget about him. But God still is moving with him. And God moves him to the place that he's the head of all the prison. I mean, they just let him run it. And one particular day, they had the baker and the butler come in and they both have dreams. And one says, I have this dream, and the other says, I have this dream, and he ends up telling him that, well, one, you're going to die, and the other, you're going to go back to serving the king. And he tells the one that's going to go back and serve him, and that's the butler. He says, please remember me and tell Pharaoh what I had done. And you know what he does? He forgets all about Joseph. And he spends even more time in that dungeon. Even more time in that dark time of his life. Until one day, good old Pharaoh couldn't sleep. He had a dream. I want you to picture this. You've been in the prison for years and years. You think that nobody has forgotten you. And all of a sudden you come down and he says, here, you need to shave, you need to put on clean clothes. Well, you know you're not going to be killed because they don't kill people in clean clothes, right? So he says, shave and put on clean clothes. The Pharaoh wants to see you. And so he goes and sees the Pharaoh. I want you to watch this. The Pharaoh asks him, he says, I hear you can interpret dreams. And he says, no, I can't interpret them, but I know God can, so tell me your dream. And so he tells him the dream, and he tells him about the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of abundant harvest, and then he tells him about the 7 years of famine. And he goes on to tell them what he needs to do. He gives him this wonderful economic plan. And the next thing we know, Pharaoh's going, I know what I'm going to do. You're in charge of the whole thing. You are now second in command to only myself, by name only. You're in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Now, how did Joseph get from prison to be the second in command? We oftentimes, when we look at God's plan for our lives, we oftentimes wonder why God has us go through certain things. Why God has us experience certain trials and tribulations in our lives. And we come to a place to find out that God is using those trials, that He's using those situations to begin to build in us character. Now, what am I talking about? Well, when I see this, I notice Joseph's journey of maturity. When he started out, he was 17. He was a whippersnapper. Now, if God had told him, he says, now I'm going to make you second in command of Pharaoh, and I'm going to help you get them through the land of, through 7 years of famine, I guarantee you, Joseph would have gone, well, how's that going to work? Did God reveal to Joseph his plan of how he was going to use Joseph to single-handedly save the known world from the economic troubles of their time? No. And let me tell you this, God does not always reveal our plans to us the entire time. In fact, He never does. I've never had God sit down one time when I'm praying and have Him just lay out for me the entire time of my life and says, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to get married here, you're going to have kids here, you're going to have a church here. And He doesn't do that. What does He do? He tells me to trust Him. I want you to think about this. Joseph, God's telling Joseph, I want you to trust me. Well, my brothers hate me, but I want you to trust me. Okay, God, so I'm trusting you. And he gets him thrown into a cistern. Okay, God, I'm trusting you, and I'm in a cistern. Just trust me. Then he gets sold into slavery. Okay, God, I thought I'm trusting you. Well, still trust me. He begins to see God doing a little something. He says, okay, maybe this is what you have in store for me. Then he goes into prison. God, I thought you were working. And he says, trust me. Hello? Isn't this the way that it works? God never asks us or never shows us everything because he wants us to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I guarantee you that if you would have went up to Joseph at 17 and says, you're going to be the ruler of the land of Egypt in 12 years' time, he says, you're crazy. Not going to happen. How could he get there? How could he learn the language? He didn't know. He's a Hebrew. Well, he learned the language in prison. He learned the language that way. He learned about the people of Egypt and how they worked and how their culture was. He became the person that God called him to be through all this. Now, we look at our particular trials and we look at our particular lives and we want everything laid out before us. And I wish that was the case. Because there are times when I myself become frustrated.
Amen.
Because I would love for God to sit down and give me a 10-year plan of how this church is going to grow. I have not gotten that. I wish. That would be nice. I wish that God would sit down and give me a 10, 20-year plan for my life of where I'm going to be in 10 years, what it's going to look like. He's never given me that. But what he has done is he says, I want you to trust me. And he's given me enough that when I go through and I trust him, notice that God always took care of Joseph. God always blessed Joseph. God was always with Joseph. In everything that he went through, he never once let him go through the trial or tribulation by himself. And let me tell you what. Whatever particular trial, whatever particular situation you're going through, I want you to know that you're not going through it alone. In Psalm chapter 23, we all know that verse. It's the Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, right? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he goes on to say, I think it's in verse 6 where he says, or in verse 3, and yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not because he will deliver me from my trial. Not because God will not have me go through trial. But he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. I want you to know right now that whatever it is that you're going through, God is with you, walking with you through this particular trial and through this particular tribulation. I tell you that some of the hardest times for me this week has been that of security and feeling safe. And coming to a place that I don't know the future. I don't know what the future holds. But the Lord has continued to bring me to the place where he says, I will be with you. I will keep you safe. You may have to walk through those valleys of the shadow of death, but I'll be with you. I'll walk through that with you. Now, I want you to look at something. If you'll turn with me to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. When we see that all this has come, and Joseph's brothers begin to apologize to him for all of the particular trials and tribulations that they put upon him. And here's where we see Joseph's maturity. Here's where we begin to see that we see, okay, Joseph knows what he's going through. I want you to look at this. It says in verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him. So they sent him a messenger to Joseph, saying, your father charged before he died, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sins, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive the transgressions of the seven of the servants of the God your father. And Joseph wept when he spoke to him. Now I want you to watch this. Look at his response. His response shows great maturity and shows us something here. Look at this. Verse 18. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to him, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. I want you to see this. God knows what he's doing, my beloved. God knows exactly where you need to be. He knows exactly what it takes for you to get to where you need to be. And he knows exactly what you need to go through in order for you to be what you need to be.
Amen.
Does that mean that sometimes it's going to be a painful ride? You better believe it. But what God is doing, he says, I'm not in the place of God. Yes, you meant to harm me. You meant to kill me. But God needed me here. And he chose this particular path to do it. So who am I to question God? So when you look at the particular trial or the particular adversity that you're going through right now, you can look at it in two ways. First of all, you can sit there and gripe and complain and say, okay, God, why am I here? Or number two, you can say, okay, God, what is it that you're doing in me to make me into who you want me to be? We can sit there and we can be part of the problem. We can be the rebellious people that go, okay, God, where are you at? Or we could be part of the answer and go, okay, God, what are you doing? I oftentimes wonder myself, what kept Joseph going in those long nights in prison? You want to know what they are? He kept his eye on the vision, the promise. On those visions that God gave him of the sheaves and the stars. And he knew, okay, this has got to be something. I got to trust God. I may not understand where I am. I may not understand how I'm going to get there. But I'm going to trust that God is going to see me to this particular spot. And that's where you and I have got to be. We know the end. We don't know particularly how that end is going to get there, but we know, for instance, we look at Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that in all things God works together for the good of those that love him, those who are called according to his purpose. So if we know that the end result is good, then we know that in our situation, however terrible, however dark, however it may be, we know that God is working. God is moving to bring it about to our good. We may not understand it. We may not see it until the very end of our lives. But we got to trust that God knows what he's doing. Amen? So in whatever situation you and I may be going through, and I may be just preaching to myself, I don't know. But I have a feeling that a lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're going through a trial. That we're going through a very dark time in our lives. Or we know someone that is going through a dark time in our lives. And so, we look at Joseph. Joseph had all the right in the world to complain to God. But he didn't. Why? Because he trusted God. He looked at God at where he was. And he says, who am I to judge God? This is his plan. This is his purpose. Praise be to God. My friend, I want to encourage you today. If you're going through a particular situation in your life, I want you to know that it's going to get better. I want you to know that God is working in your situation and He is moving to shape you and to make you into the person that God has called you to be. Is it a painful process? Absolutely. But what is He doing? He is molding and shaping us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I think of it like this. You ever notice how a sculptor takes a block of marble and he takes a hammer and he takes a chisel and he begins to chisel away a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. And I guarantee you that if you were the marble block, you would feel the pain. I see someone with a hammer and chisel up on you going, it's not fun. But what is God doing? He's getting rid of all those things in our lives that may not be wrong, but they may not be the best. Did you know that God wants the best for you this morning? He wants you to have a life that is full and abundant. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But in order for us to get to that point that we can have an abundant life, and that does not necessarily mean that I'm loaded down with big bucks. What that means is that I'm in the center of God's will, doing exactly what He wants me to do. That's what that means. Is it hard? Absolutely. But we have to continue to do what God has called us to do. I have come that you may have life. Jesus, His plan and purpose for you was not so that you would have an easy life, but that you would have an abundant life, that you would be the most productive people in the kingdom of God. Does that mean that He's going to have to change and transform us? Absolutely. He talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, He says, and we all, beholding as in a mirror the image of the glory of God, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Now the word transform there is the word metamorphosis. And it means to change. And it's a gradual change. And sometimes it's a painful change. Sometimes God begins to take away things that are near and dear to our hearts. They may not necessarily be wrong. They may not necessarily be bad. But they're not helpful for us. Other things that He just wants us to get focused upon Him. Sometimes He has us go through trials and tribulations to say, are you really trusting me? Or are you trusting in other people? Or do you think that nothing ever bad is going to happen to you? So let me show you that if you don't trust me, this is what happens. God is working in your life. And it'll all come through if we trust Him. What happens if Joseph would have not trusted God? What would we have if Joseph would rebelled against God? I do not believe, and this is my truth, I do not believe that Joseph would be in that place of leadership if it wasn't for the fact that he completely obeyed God every step of the way. Did he understand God? Absolutely not. But he trusted Him. So when you and I, or when we're in our trials and tribulations, when we go on in life and we don't understand what we're going through, all we can do is trust in Him, and He'll bring us through our particular trial and particular situation. I don't know about you, but I know that this last week, these verses have spoken to me and brought me healing through some dark times in my life. And I hope that they are going to bring healing and hope and encouragement to you this morning. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. Does it involve adversity? Yes. But God can use that adversity to make you into the person that He wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the fact that even though we go through some very painful times in our lives, we look at Joseph and we look at the fact that he was even sent to prison being wrongfully accused. He had no business being there. But Father, You needed him there because You were teaching him. You were molding him. You were shaping him. You were preparing him to be the next prime minister of Egypt. That when the time came, when Pharaoh says it's yours, he could step right into that place because God, You had been working upon his heart to do the will that You've called him to be. And Father, that's the same way You work with us. You have us go through trials and tribulations and heartache and fire. And Lord, we oftentimes complain. We oftentimes shout to You and we go, Lord, why are You doing this to us? And that's okay. But Father, we need to also come to a place where we shout out and we go, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but I got to trust You. So that when we look back in our lives and someone asks us, they go, is it all worth it? And we go, absolutely. Because now when we look back, and it may be 10 years from now, we deal with a situation that what we're going through right now was the exact training that we needed to be molded and shaped to deal with that particular situation in the future. We pray, Father, that You'd help us to not be happy that we have trials, but Father, that we count it joy that we have trials, knowing that You are using it to put us in the center of Your will. We pray that You'd help us to see this, and we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.